Welcome back to another episode of the Pickup Music Pod, where we help you improve your guitar skills. So we're currently redesigning the beginner learning pathway here at Pickup Music. And in the process of doing some research, I saw a study from Fender claiming that 90% of guitarists quit within the first year. Wow. I mean, that's kind of surprising, but at the same time, learning guitar is really hard, especially for adults, right? So I wanted to sit down with someone that is actively teaching beginner guitarists and get their perspective on how we should be designing the course, but also how you, our dear listener, can avoid becoming yet another tragic guitar statistic. So enter Carrie Stewart. And Carrie has that wonderful combination of being both an in-demand, serious, touring guitar player and a thoughtful, passionate guitar teacher. At Pickup, she provides personalized one-on-one feedback videos for our members that submit performance pieces. And of course, she has her own private students, and she's been touring all over the world with artists like Mallrat, Bloodshell, and pop superstar Conan Gray. So whether you are a true beginner or maybe a guitar teacher that's looking for some tips and tricks on how to keep your beginning students engaged, there's a lot of great stuff to chew on. So let's get into it. Well, Carrie, welcome to the pod. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's so cool to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm stoked.
Yeah, thanks a lot for doing this. So you've been teaching beginners for a little while now, right?
Yes, I've been teaching beginners probably for like the last solid 6 years, I'd say.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, for people that might only have 5 minutes to listen to this episode, what are your top five tips for adult, let's say age 15 and up beginners?
Yeah, so some of the tips I have are really just, you know, super technical things, and some are bigger concepts. Like my first thing that I always tell people, like, I'm not someone to really lean into like everything has to be perfect technique and everything's looking great. It's like when you're starting out, everything feels funny and there just needs to be like a window of experimentation that you let yourself go through to see what works, I think.
So go easy on yourself.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm not too tough on technique and stuff, but the one thing I always try and get people to do, and we were talking about this the other day in the live, is just, you know, keeping good fretting technique, just keeping your fingers to the right side of the fret, because especially when you're starting out, you know, you're fatigued, everything feels so exhausting and weird, and, you know, it's all about conserving energy. So, and that's a really great thing, or a great way to do that, because, you know, you don't have to press down as hard like we talked about.
Right.
You have better intonation. So that's like something I really try to instill, like even in my kids that are like, you know, I've taught a bunch of like 6, 7, 8 year olds. I'm like, okay, you know what to do. You know what I'm going to say. So that's my first thought. And then after that, I would say something that I've noticed in a lot of videos with beginners on the beginner and late beginner path is a lot of people, when they play a note or a chord, like really letting go of it. It's like, oh my God, I'm done with this, and like letting go, and the fingers go really far away from the fretboard, and you're like making things harder on yourself because you've now like let go and then you have to go back. So it's like two extra motions, when really it's like you just want to play and keep everything kind of hovering and, you know, your fingers bent. So that's another thing I see a lot. So to the right of the fretboard, don't let your fingers fly off. Another thought I have, I mean, this is kind of something that I just emphasize in all teaching, is just isolate into the smallest chunks. Like you're learning a 4-chord song and you're like, I can play, you know, whatever it is, G, E minor, C, and D, and I'm just going to strum through those. I know I can play all those. Well, you really just need to sit down and isolate each transition. G to E minor, E minor to C. Everyone always forgets the 4th chord to the 1st chord isolation. I'm like, don't forget the last one. So yeah, I don't know if you have thoughts on that, but I'm always like, you know, just go back and forth. And people are like, well, I don't actually have to go back to this chord in this way in this song. And it's like, well, you might have to in the next song, and then you're good to go.
Totally, 100%. Yeah, isolating and repetition and small chunks of isolating, not just like the whole 4-chord progression, but like from chord to chord. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, in all of this, all these first couple of thoughts I have are really just, you know, a part of the larger concept of whatever you're playing. If you're just playing 4 single notes, you want those notes to sound good. It's not about, you know, we're not about getting to whatever craziest licks first. Like, if you don't have the fundamentals, you're never going to get there. So you want to be really solid and make everything sound really good. So I'm always like, let's just knock out a bunch of four chord songs. Let's knock out a bunch of single note songs and slowly building from there and just having a really solid foundation. So something else I always say, like, this is kind of like, it can fall into, I guess, tab, but yeah, just thinking about your chord. Like when you're on G, you're thinking about E minor. You're always thinking a step ahead. I always tell people it's like reading a sentence. Like, you don't look at like each word and stare and then like move over. Like, you're always like, the dog went outside. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's how you get a flow, is you're thinking ahead and it's all connected. You don't have a flow when you're so isolated on like that one thing, which, like, in the beginning, you need to take time with each chord. But yeah, I guess that's the next step in transitions. My last thought, I guess these are all a little bit long-winded, more than I thought, but
it's hard to just like spit them out without explanation.
I know, it's hard to spit out. Like, these are all really big concepts, but like, you know, when I think level grade one, we have happy birthday, right?
Yeah. And sorry, just to clarify, you're talking about like in grade one of the learning pathway at Pickup.
Yes, yes.
Just for those that are listening that might
absolutely
not know.
Totally. Yeah. Sure, I just assume everyone's associated. But yeah, in grade one of the beginner pathway, everyone has great timing on that song. And they do because they know the song really well.
Ooh.
And I find a lot of the times whenever people can't get a part quite right, it's not that they technically can't do it. It's that they actually don't know what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, and you know, there's a lot of details in whatever we're playing rhythmically, but I always tell people, like, pretend you're a singer, you know?
Yeah.
A single note line. Like, can you sing back the part that you're playing? If it's a strum pattern, just doing like ta 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 ta, like literally. And like, if you find yourself stumbling, then you probably don't know there's like, maybe you're missing an up strum, or like there's an eighth note and it's been like quarter notes. So it's a really quick way to figure out what you don't know, or at least be like, okay, something's off here. And that's the first step, is realizing something's off. So yeah, just like pretending you're a singer. That's my favorite tip, I think.
Pretend you're a singer. Yeah. I like that. Okay, cool. I'll just sort of quickly go through, and you covered quite a few of the ones that I would have mentioned as well. So maybe I'll try to come up with some others too. But some big ones for me are like, have the student make sure that their guitar is set up properly. I've noticed a lot of students that they have the action super high on their acoustic guitar, and they quit because, or, you know, they potentially would quit. It's just not an enjoyable experience. So getting your guitar taken to a shop and set up properly, get the action adjusted, get the intonation there. It's just going to make everything easier and sound way better.
You're right. That is something that I don't even think about, because it's like something I just also assume. It's like, yeah, everyone needs to do that. Like,
I know. Yeah, it seems very obvious, but I think sometimes a lot. I remember when I taught a guitar course at LACC, Los Angeles City College, and a lot of people were just had no idea. They just didn't know that that was even a possibility.
Yeah, it's true. I've definitely had lots of students where I'm like, have you ever had this set up? And they're like, what? Like, I bought the guitar. I have it. I'm practicing. What do you mean set up? Like, it sounds like people are always like, assume, do I really need to do that?
It's like, that's for pros or something.
Yeah. I can get pushback on it sometimes. I'm like, no, like, it actually, it definitely will help you. So yeah, that's definitely one that I just, you know, forgot, but is super important. That's a great thing to bring up.
Yeah. And then my second one was actually the same one as you, as far as that, keeping that finger, all of your fingers nestled up against the frets. It's just such, I think that's like the most important technique thing that beginners need to focus on, because it makes it way easier to press the string down, which is makes it easier on your hand. And also, you know, things like tuning and stuff, it's better as well if you just keep that finger there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Another one I have is, and I think you were there on the live lesson, but it's called the wiggle. And we talk about it in like the late beginner. And it's the same concept as, you know, it's just rote repetition. You know, you're sitting there practicing your kick flips or your free throws in basketball or whatever it is. And, you know, you're just grabbing the chord, finding it, arpeggiating it, strumming it, make sure it sounds good. Take your fingers off, wiggle them around, and do it again. You can do this while you're watching TV. You can do it while you're baby's running around like a maniac, you know, in the next room, whatever. You don't have to really have a lot of focus to do it. But of course, it does help. But just sitting there for like a minute and like repeating chords, I think it's super helpful.
Yes. Yeah, definitely arpeggiating your chords is so helpful. It's another one of those things of like very quickly being like, oh, this is the string that's the culprit of the problem for this chord.
Yes, that's such a good point. Like arpeggiating it is a huge part of the wiggle, actually. You know, it's equally as important, I'd say, because as you just pointed out, like if you just strum the chord, you're likely going to miss that you're actually not getting that inner string or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I don't know how you feel about this. I'm actually curious if you think this is true, but it seems like for beginners, it makes sense to do power chords first and then bar chords. Do you agree with that? Like that a power chord is kind of like the training wheels for bar chords?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally the building blocks. Like you have part of the chord already. And like power chords are, you know, they're not easy for a lot of people. Like they take a lot of strength. A lot of people are like, this is one of the first weird stretches. Like chords, it's like, okay, that, you know, that C finger, but power chords can feel really funky to people. And so I think it is a really good building block for your bar chord, because if you're struggling with that basis, you know, if two finger, three finger, like your bar chord's going to be really, really tough. So I do think it's training wheels. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I think so. And also it's like, well, if you're playing a song that calls for bar chords, you know, just to get that motion down and just identifying the roots and stuff first, it's like, well, just do power chords. That'll make it easier on your hand. And you're still kind of, that's why I'm thinking of it as like training wheels or stepping stone or whatever you want to call it, because, you know, you're still getting that same motion. I'm like flipping you off as I'm doing this. but yeah, you're getting that same motion without the pain of like holding down the bar chord for, you know, the whole song.
Totally. Yeah.
The last thing, and sorry, I feel like I've been talking forever here, but as you said, it's like you got to explain your five things, mm-hmm, is to really have like a structured practice plan. And, you know, you work with people one-on-one. And so obviously you're providing that structure. But if people don't have that, place like Pickup and the learning pathway specifically is a great way to have that, because we've thought through exactly like, you know, what to do day by day, lesson by lesson. And you
absolutely
have like a very clear plan, and you know that you're, you know, getting what you need to work on.
Yeah. It's a way to check yourself, because without a practice plan, it's like you're kind of lost.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm kind of doing this thing. But like, that's why, you know, Pickup is really great. It's like, this is all laid out in front of you. Like you can say, I can't do these three things. I can just do this one thing today, and I'm going to do the second thing tomorrow, and I'm going to stretch out the pathways. That's a question someone had for me recently, was pacing. They were like, I feel like I can't necessarily move on to the next day depending on the pathway. I forget what pathway they were on. And I was like, you don't have to. Like, you could stick with one day of the pathway for a week if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. Like, it's whatever feels comfortable. And I encourage you, you know, that's not in terms of like perfection, like nothing needs to be perfect, but just like feeling like not overwhelmed before you move on to the next day.
Yeah, that's a really good point. All right. So Fender released a study like a few years ago, like 2019, that 90% of beginners quit within 1 year. So my question to you is, how can people avoid landing in this statistic?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people pick up the guitar. They're like, this is crazy. I don't know if I can be good at this. I don't have the time for this. I think it's really like a big part of it is the time thing. And then thinking, you know, it's harder than they thought or something. And really just, you know, making sure you can carve out little chunks. Like I always tell people, you don't have to practice 30 minutes a day to start. Like if you're having a hard time, like, and you just really want to start getting into it, just 15 minutes, like 4 days, five days, like the small chunks, because it's just like a sport, you know, it's just like doing cardio. Your muscles just need to be exposed to it. It's not about like, you know, working it out for 2 hours. It's just about a little bit each day. It's better to have short snippets of exposure than 2 days of sitting down for an hour and tiring yourself out. So, and you know, I assume everyone is, you know, addicted to technology, but you know, if you decide to just put your phone down whenever you like to look at that and be like, I'm actually going to do guitar today. It's like, once you actually get started and make that decision, you're already there. It's just making that decision to pick it up. And then you have fun from there.
Yeah, have fun, right?
Yeah, having fun. That's the other thing is another thought I have on that is like, especially with kids and trying to keep them motivated, but it really applies to anyone is I've picked up students who've had other teachers and they're learning, they've learned like 10 songs and they don't really like any of them. And so it's like,
yeah,
you know, there's always value in learning stuff you don't know, of course, and maybe stuff that isn't your favorite thing. There's some of that always, but you got to make sure that you mix it up in there because the reason you're getting into it is because you want to have fun. So if it's not feeling fun for a long time, like, I think you need to recalibrate and say, okay, something isn't working. Like, you know, I wanted to do this for a reason. And, you know, maybe it's trying a different pathway or if you have a private teacher, a different teacher, or just, you know, getting excited about a certain technique. Maybe something's been really hard for you, like power chords. And then you start doing finger style and you're like, whoa, I'm really good at this. And that kind of motivates you to then do your power chords because, you know, you can be really great.
So, okay, that brings up a couple things.
Yeah.
How important is learning songs for beginners? Because, well, and it sort of ties into the last question as well, because like, how do you avoid being in that statistic? Well, you know, I guess what you're saying is, and what makes sense is like, well, you need to do what's going to draw you to playing is like, if you're having fun. Mm-hmm. And so if having fun is playing songs, that's great. And that's mm-hmm. obvious, but like a lot of beginners, it's hard to play a song. You like literally can't play songs sometimes if you're really a true beginner, you know?
No, it's true. It's true. It's really hard to find a song where someone could actually sit down and play along to the track because, you know, maybe the chords are good, but the tempo is really fast.
Yeah.
Maybe three of the chords are easy. The fourth chord is like, what's going, you know, it's a bar chord or something. Okay, now we have to do a half bar. We're not ready for that. Like, it's very, I know you know this from teaching people as well. It's very hard to find stuff like that people can actually play. So yeah, I think with people, I just try to find even a chunk of something that they can play. You know, it's not about playing a song down, but you know, maybe you can play the riff to the song.
Like a riff or a section. Yeah.
Yeah. I think just patience. It has to be some patience with your learning.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. You know, you made me remember, like I used to use Dropbox for all my private students. And I can just remember constantly uploading slowed down versions of all these songs, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot. Like I have like, we'll get into this later, some good beginner songs, but I have finally found a number of ones that are somewhat doable for beginners to play along to the track.
at the normal tempo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Well, yeah. So, well, maybe that leads us right into it. I mean, what are your sort of top five or so songs for beginners? And there's like the obvious ones that everybody talks about on YouTube, Smoke on the Water, Seven Nation Army, blah, blah, blah. And yes, sure. Those are obvious and great. And everybody learns those. But like, what are some, it's 2024, you know, like, come on, like what, let's get some new material here for beginners.
Yeah. So one song that I think we talked about in our live before is Sunflower by Post Malone. Like, that song, it's not a crazy fast tempo. Even if you can't quite play along, like you can still kind of get the transitions, maybe imperfectly. It's G, there's E minor, there's D. There's some good basic chords. We're not getting into any weird seventh chords or anything. And it's a song everyone knows. And it's a really helpful one to play along to because, you know, you can really hear the drums in it, you know. Which is very, I mean, you can always hear the drums, but like that one, it's like, it's very bare at the beginning and then every, you know, just like very drum and vocal heavy. So it's like easier to play along to, I think, for students I've taught it to.
Awesome.
So that's a really great one. I think this might be a controversial take for people who are anti country, but all my students, I try to just find songs that I'm like, even if you don't love this style, this is really fun to play along. So my next one is Wagon Wheel by Darius Rucker.
Oh, yeah.
Because every time I've showed that to someone, even if they're like, I don't know, I don't like country, like That one's a great one. It's so fun. Like, can't not like it. Like, so like I really love teaching that one to people. I guess a modern single note riff that is very fun is Blue Jeans by Lana Del Rey. Yeah, because it just like from the top of the song, you hear this riff, boom, 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 and it repeats the entire song except for maybe like a two-bar bridge. Like, so it's very present. You're just playing single notes. There's open strings. It's a really good way to get into just playing single note riffs. So I love showing that one to people.
What was that one again?
Blue Jeans by Lana Del Rey. It's on one of her older records. I'm spacing which one. But yeah, it was. I don't know when that record came out. I don't know. Age myself. But yeah, that one is a really fun one to play along to. I'm trying to think.
It could be classics too if you have some tried and true Beatles songs or whatever.
So one that is really good chord wise and strum pattern in it. The only thing is it's fast. So this is one of those slow downer ones. This is like 90s. Is In the Airplane Over the Sea.
Oh yeah,
by Neutral Milk Hotel. Because it's like. It's, you know, I tend to have a lot of students who are like very indie leaning, and that's where my interests lie as well. But like everyone kind of knows that song, and it's also just like a you can just really get into that.
We did that one in either late beginner or intermediate, I think.
Okay. That one's amazing. It's such a good song. It's just so fun. I've definitely showed a bunch of my high school students. They're like, my mom loves this.
Yeah,
that's really fun. I guess, you know, now thinking about stuff that's like maybe getting into a little bit more late beginner energy, I've taught Bad Idea, Right by Olivia Rodrigo a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because that one is a fun riff. There's open strings. So it's like, oh, it's a little fast, but I have the open strings. We're not just like, you know, fingering all these notes like this. And yeah, that one's a blast too. So yeah, those are some of my tops, I would say. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. I wasn't like a true beginner, but starting people out with Hey Jude was one that I always used to like, but I would do it in the key of E instead of F. So that one I would not only slow down, but also pitch for the students and then, you know, upload that for them.
Yeah, that's a great one. And everyone knows that song, you know, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun to play something that's just like iconic, but, you know, everyone knows.
And it's a great one to start singing and playing too as well, which, yeah, I've talked about that before, I think, on the pod. But yeah, so Hey Jude, yeah, obviously. Hey Ya by Outkast is one that's pretty fun.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that in the which pathway is that?
Yeah, that's in Late Beginner. Yeah.
Late Beginner, yes.
Yeah, both of those are actually, yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of the most popular performances. I feel like everyone loves to choose that one because it's just iconic.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Do you have any sort of philosophy or approach on the order that you teach beginners the concepts? Like, do you have any recommendations? Like, should they follow their what is driving them to pick up the guitar in the first place? Or should they really stick with like, okay, you learn a single note, then open chords, then power chords, then bar chords? Is there like a system that you've found, or does it really just depend on the interest of the student?
We talked a bit about it earlier, but I really do stick to a similar system of like single notes. Okay, we're gonna start and like I do stick to like, let's dive right into a song. Let's dive right into what you're excited about. I want people to stay excited. Yeah. So I'm like, you pick any song you want. It doesn't matter if it's not even a really guitar-based song. And we're just gonna, you know, play the root notes. We're gonna play the root bass notes of the song. And that way, you know, you can still play it in the original key. We don't have to worry about bar chords. And right away people were like, oh my gosh, like it sounds like the song, like I can play this. Like, and it's exciting to see. So that's how I always start out, is I'm like, let's just do like a handful of songs like that while I start to show, okay, now open chords. Once we can strum the open chords and they sound pretty clear, let's start learning some songs with open chords. okay, this is good. Let's introduce power chords. I always find, you know, the transitioning with power chords is really hard for people, but power totally. Chords and then half bars, then full bars. So that's kind of the system I go by. And it, I guess it does really depend, you know, I'm not like, we're doing three songs of power chord. Like I try to balance it out. Like we have this open chord song and we just started this power chord song. And depending on how that particular person does with a technique tells me, you know, what kind of song we need to do or how many more we need to do. So yeah, it does really vary, and I do really stick to a song-based approach that way. But I guess once I get into power chords with people is when I, you know, try to teach them, like, let's learn the note names, or the like, you know, on the E and A strings, because that's going to be really useful to us right now. And kind of intro it that way. But yeah, I don't know. I wonder if you have thoughts on this, like if you have a, you know, approach that you stick to with people.
You know, it's funny. When you're teaching private lessons, it is very much, well, that's kind of the benefit and the point, I guess, is like how personalized you can make it. And that's probably why they're paying you more for that. But like in a classroom setting or online learning, you know, you kind of have to choose something, you know? And so, yeah, I've found that like trying to have like a bunch of different styles sort of is like, okay, well, if you don't like country, then like, don't worry. The next song is pop or whatever, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of a whole different ball game really, but,
it is. It is a very different, because it's like you need more laid out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And set up there, as opposed to like just going day by day is kind of what it is for, you know, individual lessons. Because it's like, you know, online people just come to the computer and they're ready to go. They come to it when they're ready. Sometimes when people come in for lessons, they're not ready. You know, we need to review something together. We can't just move on. You know, it's like, there's an assessment happening.
Yeah, yeah. This brings up a good point I wanted to ask you about. What's your opinion on like those easy chords or like the one finger chords? So for example, a G chord and only playing the G, B, and E strings with the third finger, your ring finger on that third fret and just strumming those three strings. Do you teach that those kind of chords?
So I was not aware that playing those chords was a thing until honestly like 4-5 years ago, because none of like my teachers ever taught me that way. Like I was like right into the, we're doing a full G chord, like let's go. So I don't tend to show people those chords, like adults, high school and adults, like unless someone's like really really struggling, and there's nothing wrong with it, but you know, I kind of reserve those chords for like any really young students I've taught, to just, you know, get them out of the single note stuff, because the full chords, you know, if you're a little kid, it is really, really hard, or if you have small hands. So yeah, anyone can do it. But I just personally tend to just, you know, throw people in like, you can do this, let's try this and see what happens. And if I need to dial it back, then we do. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best approach. Like try to do it. And if they are really struggling, then just dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I those chords, I feel like playing them is harder for me.
Yeah. Well, and it's actually like the strumming part could be harder, because instead of like on a G chord, instead of just simply strumming all six strings, you really have to like, oh God, now, and there's no way to like mute those lower strings really. So it's like you really have to kind of be accurate with your strumming hand,
which is good, and it's a great exercise in another way. That's, you know, so yeah, there's nothing wrong with doing those little chords. There's definitely value in everything, for sure.
So okay, this is, our segues have just been so perfect. You've just set it up like one thing after another.
I love it. We're connected. We're doing it this morning. It's great.
Because that leads me to thinking about strumming and the, you know, the strumming hand. I don't want to say right hand for those lefties out there, but, and let's be more specific, like rhythmic concepts, right? Because the rhythm is coming from your strumming hand. So, you know, at least at pickup and in general, I think, you know, with our experience or my experience, like having a solid rhythm feel is something that we harp on all the time. And it's something that people struggle with the most, but it's so hard because, you know, if you are an adult and you didn't grow up with like music in your life, and you know, you just might not have this internal sense of pulse and time or whatever you want to call it. And it's kind of a hard thing to teach. So I don't know, like, do you have any tips for anyone that's just feels like they don't have a natural sense of rhythm and time? Or how do you teach rhythmic concepts in general to a beginner?
Yeah, so you're right. It is definitely the hardest thing to teach if someone's really struggling with rhythm. So I guess kind of going back to my idea of, like, you know, first songs, we're doing single note, root note songs. I do a similar thing. I'm like, tell me a song that you really, really like listening to. Let's find the pulse together. I'm going to do it first. We can just, like, literally clap. Then you're going to join me. I'm going to stop and I'm going to see how you're doing. And then, you know, as the teacher, you're like, okay, for some reason, beat two is always late or whatever it is. Or, like, we're just totally getting lost. If someone just totally getting lost and cannot find the pulse, I find that the only way that it's worked for me with students is to just keep doing it together until they just get more comfortable. Because they're just not, you know, it's really hard to find. So, yeah, it's a weird, mysterious thing almost. I found.
Yeah. We talk about that a little bit in the late beginner, sort of prioritizing rhythm over perfection, you know, which is not exactly what you said, but it's kind of in the same ballpark. Like, you know, practicing away from the guitar, getting, like, really get internalizing as much as you can, because ultimately feel and time comes from within. It's not the guitar.
No, it's true. It's true. And, like, I'm sure you've noticed this as well with students, but, you know, some people really naturally are bobbing their heads or, like, you can see tapping their foot. And so that's, like, just do that to a song. See if you can really do that. Anyone I've had that is really struggling with timing of something, or, like, even, you know, if they're past the very beginner and it's like, we are really not getting the strum pattern. Like, we are really not getting the fact that this is swung or, like, you know, something like that. Like, it's all about listening. Like, I will just have a snippet of myself playing something and I'm like, when you sit down, I don't want you to try and play this. I want you to just listen. Like, just listen. I don't remember which one of my teachers told me that's the best practice, but it's so true. I find, I mean, you know, learning songs, it's like, it's so hard to play something if you don't know what you're doing.
So, like, active listening?
Yeah, really active listening. And that's hard. Like, it takes, you know, it takes time to build that skill. But I think, you know, just there's that point of, like, mystery of, like, what's going on in a song guitar wise. And you start to learn and you start to be able to hear things, you know, everyone at varying levels. But it all just comes together. Like, you once you recognize a quarter note and then you're like, oh, I that's a quarter. OK, something else is happening. That's the eighth note. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. It's a web.
Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, with beginners, sometimes I've talked about, like, movement listening also, which is sort of along the lines of what you're saying. Like, you know, you're actively listening, but you're also, like, tapping your foot or something. You know, maybe they already played drums or something, or, you know, or whatever, but some kind of movement, moving your body, bobbing your head. For some people that are really struggling and sometimes just unaware, that can be, you know, helpful.
I really like that term, movement listening. That's a really great way of describing that.
Yeah. Okay, so back to sort of, I guess, the fretting hand. How important is learning tab for beginners and particularly adults, right? That's who we're really trying to focus on, like 15 and above.
Yes.
So little kids, that's kind of a different story.
I think it's really important to understand how to read it. And I think it really depends person to person how much you want to use it. I think everyone should use it to an extent, but like for myself, when I was learning, like, it's like really helpful because I'm a visual learner to have that. And you know, some students that I've had, they really just learn by watching me and listening and they don't look at the tab at all. They don't want it. And I try to remind them, like, you know, there is still use in this as a point of reference for everything, whether it's like, you know, there's an extra bar of we have 5 bars instead of 4. And the tab is going to tell you that you don't have to memorize that and stuff like that. So it's not like fully necessary, but I do think it's a good way to just, even if, you know, visual learning isn't your way of learning, it's a good way to just look at things differently. I'm a big proponent of tab.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I would say it's helpful. It seems like it's helpful to, you know, 8 out of 10 people.
Yeah.
I remember in the guitar class, there's some people that, you know, they might have slight dyslexia or maybe they have full on dyslexia. And it's just like, they're just like, no way, like I can't do this. And, you know, I think for adults as well, it can just be a bit intimidating and overwhelming sometimes. Mm. Whereas kids are more like elastic and they're like, you know, they're just like, oh yeah, okay. But yeah, from the beginners that I've taught, it does seem like most of the time it's helpful. But, you know, there's a lot of different aspects to tab that you have to understand. First of all, it's like you flip the guitar kind of upside down and they're like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then if it's stacked on top of each other, oh, that's a chord. Whereas like if it's vertical, then those are single notes. And then that takes a little while to kind of get. And then what if there's rhythms on it as well, you know? And then, mm-hmm. Oh, what does that little HO thing mean? Or, you know, so it's just, yeah, it can actually be quite a lot, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. It is a lot to take on. I think like, yeah, just trying to make it level appropriate. You know, like we were just talking about rhythm. Like I'm going to play, you know, on the first fret of the high E string quarter notes. We're going to do that together. Like you can just write that out on a tab, you know, just as like a way to remember, oh, that's all we did there. We're just playing on this fret, like not even really worrying about lots of details or bars, et cetera. But yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to look at, but ultimately helpful. And I think there's definitely a period of like, you know, however many weeks or whatever, where it doesn't seem to sink in. And then all of a sudden I feel like it clicks for people.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, this is super helpful. Most of the
time. For a while, it's like, I'm not really using this. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also sort of the question of like chord charts, you know, and then being able to read tabs online and looking things up and, you know, seeing the lyrics with the chords over it. But sometimes there's also like, you know, little chord charts where you can see how many bars to play. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different types of notation and then like slash chords too, but that might even be, that's a little bit beyond, you know, beginner, but, or, you know, not slash chords like A over B, but like the slash marks, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, like reading slash marks, yeah. So I guess if you're a beginner and you're listening to this and you're debating whether you should learn tab, do it. Give it a shot.
Yeah, just try. There's no harm in trying anything. You can say, oh, that was really hard. I'm going to come back to that in a month.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's a lot of stuff for people to think about.
Yeah, it's so fun to hear your takes on things. Like we have a lot of similar, you know, ideas and thoughts on these concepts, and just hearing it in your perspective is cool too, and you know, helpful for listeners and different students. So this was awesome. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate you being here, Carrie, and talking to you and nerding out about all this stuff. Thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks again to Carrie, and we'll see you on the next one.